Elizabeth Geitz, good morning, and it's so wonderful to have you join us this morning.
Thank you, Kate. I'm delighted to be on your show.
I think we're the ones who are going to feel a lot of delight as we hear at least a bit of your story, and we can certainly learn more of it, more of the details, if we are to pick up a copy of the book that we're going to be talking about, that is I Am That Child, Changing Hearts and Changing the World. Well, that just really speaks so much to me. There's so much work to be done to make this world all that it can be, isn't there, Elizabeth?
Oh, there is, and there are many things that all of us can do. And one thing that I like to tell people in my ministry, I am an Episcopal priest, is that we all have a call, and whether we call it a call from God or something else, we're all called to do something in the world, and we all have a different call. So figuring out what that is and then responding can bring amazing joy and light into your own life.
And sometimes it takes a while for that particular message to reveal itself to us, or it does it in little bits. We don't see the ultimate goal. We have to really grow into it, it seems, doesn't it?
We do. We have to grow into it and listen and just try to get a sense of what that still small voice within us is urging us to do. And take some risks and try it and see where it leads. It doesn't come in a nice, neat package, in other words.
Yes, that is a good thing to really state and to understand, because so often here in our country, we tend to think of things as being just nicely planned and packaged, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, that's not the way life generally turns out, is it?
No, that's for sure.
And in your case, here's this incredible story, which is in the pages of I Am That Child, about your travels to Africa, specifically to the country of Cameroon. Tell us a little bit about how that all started so we can understand how it's not necessarily this neat little package.
I like what you said about it coming in little bitty pieces throughout our life. It really began for me at a moment that I did not realize. My husband and I were watching the Today Show back in the 1970s. And those of you who remember Jimmy Carter when he was our president, his mother was called Ms. Lillian, M-I-Z, Lillian Carter. And she was being interviewed on the Today Show, I believe by Barbara Walters at that time. And up on the screen suddenly appeared a photograph of Ms. Lillian sitting on a motorcycle surrounded by about 30 African children in a village. And I turned to my husband and said, "That's going to be me someday." And he said, "Right. You know, room service is what you call roughing it, you know." And I said, "No." It just, there was a little kernel of recognition and yearning in me, and then I didn't think any more about it. Then 30 years later, our daughter was, I'm sorry, not 30 years later, about 15 years later, our daughter was in kindergarten, and her school started an outreach in Trenton, New Jersey, and I began working with women on welfare there. And one thing led to another, and I met Sister Jane Manka at a church gathering, and she is an Anglican nun from Cameroon. And suddenly that dream that had begun in me 30 years before came to life, and I said, "I'm going to go to Africa."
And that is so beautiful, the way that that just encapsulates it. I think by stating it as you have your story, Elizabeth, helps us to maybe look back at our life or be aware of things that are happening now. Or maybe it's something that will unfold in the next weeks and in the next year or something. That to listen to that kind of that still small voice, those things that happen that really have a kind of a that resonance within us.
Right, right. And also to listen to other people. I think that sometimes we can hear a message for us through something someone else says to us, or an affirmation of our gifts that might come unexpectedly. Maybe someone would say to you, you're the best teacher I've ever seen or had, or, you know, you're an amazing listener. And so I would urge your listeners to listen to what other people tell them and to look at what things are you continually asked to do that might tell you something about your gifts that you can then share with the wider world.
And so when we now look toward your life and the gifts that you had to share, there was that seed, that yearning to do something in terms of Africa. Then you met Sister Jane, and then you made your trip.
I did, indeed.
Yes.
I had no idea what to expect. I went with two other women. One, I had been to Africa 7 times. And that's another thing I would suggest. If you're going to jump out and do something that's a bit out of your comfort zone, let a sister or a brother guide you who has been there before. And that's what I did. I went with Lillian Cochran and with Nan Curtis, and off we went. And Nan and I had never been to a developing nation, and Lillian had. So she was sort of our guide and our mentor along the way.
So that helped to kind of pave the road, so to speak, for you to have someone who could say, this is natural, this is what to expect, not to be really overly surprised by what you encounter.
Well, I will say I was still surprised. I'm not sure that anybody can really prepare us for a journey of that nature, but it helped my own comfort level a great deal to be traveling with an experienced person.
And when you made this first trip, how long were you actually there for?
We were only there for 2 weeks. We lived in the orphanage while we were there, and while there, I interviewed all of the children, a number of the children, and Sister Jane, and began not really knowing what I was going to do with that material. Then when I got home in the United States, the children's faces would not leave me. Their stories were embedded in my heart, as was Sister Jane. And I decided, what can I do to really help them beyond just going and being with them for 2 weeks, working with them? And I then spent almost 3 years researching some of the deeper issues in Africa that have led to there being so many children whose parents have died of AIDS. And that's how the book began to unfold over the next 3 years.
And the stories are just incredible. One of the parts of it, of course, is the fact that you have adopted, but this is not a physical adoption. This is an emotional, a spiritual, a financial adoption, one of the young boys at the orphanage.
Yes, and I love the way you put that. I think I'm going to write that down. Emotional, spiritual adoption, financial, because that's what it is. We call it a sponsorship, but really, the child, Nafi Ndika, that is the name that I use for him in the book, I decided to use fictitious names for the children because their stories are very deep and poignant, and I wanted them to have the opportunity or not to reveal who they were within that book. Because in Africa, there is still an incredible stigma to having had parents who died of AIDS. So in the book, I call him Nafi Ndika, and my family and I had been sponsoring him for several years when I went over there, and he was also a lot of the reason that I decided to go outside my comfort zone and do something like this, because I wanted to see him. And it was an amazing reunion of tears and hugs when I finally saw him. I had been communicating with him and writing him letters, and only once a year. It's all that we can get letters in there to them by someone carrying them. And yet I felt that I knew him.
And that certainly is conveyed in the stories that you share about him and about the other children too, but about him especially in I Am That Child. And it was, you paint that, you describe it so wonderfully in the book. It seemed like he really knew you too, and he was so shy, but also so excited to see you.
He was. He was shy. He was only 9 years old. In the book, I Am That Child, I have the interviews of 7 of the orphans and go really in depth into their life story, and I'm telling their stories in their own words. I was very aware in writing this book that I am of a different race. I am white. I'm from a completely different culture. And my goal was to let these children's voices speak through the pages without any interference from me. And so in those particular chapters in I Am That Child, the words are their own. The words are their children, are the children's own words. And it still is very powerful when I think of their individual stories.
They're powerful and they're heart-wrenching to think of how these children really would not be alive today had it not been for the work of Sister Jane and the orphanage and the contributions of other people who support her work.
That's right. When I was there, I was so struck by the pure joy that emanates from these children and the depth of their faith in the midst of such so few material resources that it was just almost tangible. You could almost touch it. And when I preached a sermon on Sunday, I told them, I said, I feel very inequipped to talk to you all about faith because you know more about faith and God than any people I've ever been around. And it was really true. But their countenance is one not of sadness, even though their stories are incredibly sad, but one of joy because they feel they have been given life. And when I was there, it was very hard for me to realize, even though I kept hearing the stories from Sister Jane and some of the children, they literally would have died in the streets, as unfortunately many children still do. There is not one government program to take care of them. And that is the difference between our country and a country like Cameroon. There's no safety net whatsoever for these children to fall back on. And they were so alive playing jump ropes and basketball and soccer that it was hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that if it were not for Sister Jane and their sponsors, they would not be alive.
So we can take a moment right now to mention that any of us can participate and be sponsors and support this really important work.
Yes, it only takes $30 a month. And if you want to go on the website to the Good Shepherd Home, it's very simple to remember. It's simply goodshepherdhome.org. And on the website, there are opportunities through PayPal to just sign up right there and become a sponsor. And I can tell you that it's one of the most meaningful things I've ever done in my life and led me to greater works beyond just that sponsorship. When you begin to be in relationship and communicate with and care about a person in another country, it can lead you into other directions and other ways to help. And in the book, I Am That Child, there is a chapter at the end called Joining the Journey. And I list out 18 different ways that people can join the journey, depending upon what part of the book speaks to them. So, yes, I would urge you, just think about it. Go to goodshepherdhome.org. 100% of the funds that we donate go directly to the children. There is no overhead because the money goes through the community of St. John Baptist, a group of Anglican nuns in Mendham, New Jersey, and they wire the money directly to Sister Jane, and there is no overhead. That's what's unique about this opportunity.
And that, I think, speaks probably quite loudly to a lot of people because we know that there can be so many administrative funds that can be taken out of our donations. But here, to know that 100% goes to the children and that those dollars mean so much more there than they do here.
Yes, they do. And when I was researching that chapter in the book, I was surprised that the main organizations that we're all familiar with and that are wonderful, they take, I think, 25% for administrative work. So in the book, I've listed what percentage of that organization's funds go directly to the program that you're giving to. And I think that's something important that we all need to think about as we make our contributions.
Absolutely. So that is definitely a wonderful chapter. And we should mention that you have a website as well, where you have a blog and a lot of great information, good recipes too, that we can take advantage of. So let's mention that, Elizabeth.
Okay, of course, I'm glad to do that. And it's also pretty simple to remember. It's simply my name, Elizabeth with a Z, Geitz, GEITZ.com. And on my website, I do have a number of Cameroonian recipes. I have Sister Jane's own sweet potato pie. And they don't have flour over there. It's very expensive. So it's a pie without flour, just the way she would make it. Some good chicken and peanut stew. And so if you wanted to get a book club together, and a number of book clubs have read this and had a Cameroonian dinner with it, there the recipes are for you right there at elizabethgeitz.com.
That definitely sounds fun. And in the process of having fun, to really be coming more aware and potentially to be more active in the world and making a difference.
Yes. In fact, one person asked me, you know, the subtitle of the book is Changing Hearts and Changing the World. How do you change people's hearts? And the answer is through cross-cultural relationships. I believe that when we are in a relationship with someone in a culture and country and group very different than our own, that it has the power to change our hearts in ways that nothing else quite can. The power of individual relationships is very significant, and that's what I want to stress about. My real purpose in writing this book is to help people see that they too can experience a relationship that will change their heart.
And this is so critical for us as a people, as a country. It's critical for us as the whole human race to understand this, that we really are brothers and sisters. It's not just some, you know, nice little phrase to mention, but really to see how connected we are.
Absolutely. Well, let me say this. The way the title of the book came about is, part of it is that Sister Jane saw these children dying in the streets and said to herself, I am that child. But also I realized in talking with these children, and especially a young teenage girl that I think helped me to see myself in her, I realized I am that child. I live thousands of miles away. I'm different. But, you know, pain is the universal language, and love is the universal language. Motherhood is a universal language. So regardless of the outward things that might be very different, we can greet one another as true sisters and brothers on that level. And that's when we're able to get down to that, then I think we are getting at the core of what it means to be human.
And we also discover, you mentioned earlier, Elizabeth, about the stigma of AIDS. And we certainly have experienced that and still at times experience it in our country. But certainly we've made many strides. But in Africa, this is still very much a part of their culture, their roots, that they really ostracize those children who are orphans because of their, actually, part of it is their spiritual beliefs, I think. Isn't it?
Absolutely. They still, a number of people in Africa still believe that witchcraft is the cause of AIDS. They believe that somebody cast a spell on somebody, and that's why they died. So they believe that the children somehow are tainted by that spell that they believe was cast. So they do not want these orphan children, even though ones in the primary Good Shepherd home do not have AIDS themselves, Sister Jane has since started a home for special needs children who have both AIDS and epilepsy. But the 100 children in the primary home, even though they don't have AIDS, they are called the rejected ones because society rejects them because their parents died of AIDS, which is why I have used fictitious names in the book for the children.
And the beauty of these stories, this all ties in together about who these children are, about their potential and their hopes, their dreams, and how supporting them, having the sponsorship type of adoption, helps to educate them so that they are potentially the contributors to building a stronger country.
Right. That is Sister Jane's hope and her dream and her vision that I believe will be fulfilled. She believes in her heart that the next president of Cameroon is going to come out of her orphanage, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. The children have very real goals for themselves, and they're working so hard to achieve them. Several of them want to go to medical school, and you will see on the goodshepherdhome.org website that actually a doctor here in my town set up a medical school scholarship trust so that if a child wants to go to medical school and is accepted, then that medical school will be paid for. And the only caveat is that they have to practice medicine in Cameroon for a minimum of 5 years. So she has real plans, and as the children do for themselves. And I'll tell you a quick story. This occurred after the book was written, so it isn't in the book. But a little boy was found literally in the bush trying to survive hand-to-mouth and not doing very well, starving. And they brought him into the home and fed him and everything. He has turned out to be number one in every class that he has, extremely bright, and wants to go to medical school, and I believe he'll get there.
And he will, undoubtedly, because he's going to have support there. But what really will underscore and ensure that is if we do our part as well.
That's right. That's right. And it does take help from us. And I want to say something about that. There's a notion that some people have, I think I used to have myself, that we need to go over there and help them. But that's really not the case. What the economists have found and different people who've studied developing nations is that if we get on board with a grassroots movement within that country with indigenous leadership, then it will last. And that's what this is. Sister Jane came to the United States with a dream in her heart, a vision in her head, and $25 in her pocket. And she now runs and has established these two orphanages. She runs the largest chicken farm in Bamenda. And what we do here, we've set up a board, is we support her in realizing her vision and her dreams. And there are times when we don't always understand exactly where she's headed, but we trust her instincts because she knows what is best for her children and her country in a way that we never can because we're outsiders.
Exactly. And it's that sense of empowering. They know rather than us thinking that we know what's best for them.
They absolutely do. And what I think we are meant to do is to support them in realizing their vision for their country. Another vision that Sister Jane has, the motto of Good Shepherd Home, is "May we all be one." And while we were there, if you read the book, I Am That Child, you will notice that I was surprised that we were the only white faces in sight when we got off the plane. I had not realized that there are very few tourists that come to Cameroon. So I very naively made the comment to Sister Jane at dinner one night, well, I guess racism is not a problem here, you know, because you're all one race. And she said, well, we've got tribalism in a huge way. And, of course, the problems that we've all read about and heard about in Rwanda and countries like that are all tribal warfare. So what Sister Jane consciously does is take in children from every tribe in Cameroon, because there is still, even a country that's been at peace for 40 years, very many distinctions among people in different tribes. She told me that some tribes look down on others almost as if they're animals, which, of course, leads to the kind of inhumanity that we've witnessed in other countries. At the Good Shepherd Home, the children are learning that there are no distinctions between them, and they are living together as brother and sister. That's what I feel is an incredible hope for that country and for these children. They are growing up without prejudice against anyone from a different tribe than their own.
And added to that, then, is that she has the boys and the girls, because the girls, women, are so often considered as second-class citizens in the country.
They are, and certainly it has been a barrier that Sister Jane has had to overcome, and she still does. She tells her life story in the book. There are two chapters about that in the book, I Am That Child. And she mentions in one the amazing resistance that she got from her father when she told him she wanted to go to a convent. And his primary concern, really only concern, was that he would not get the bride price for her. She went ahead and made her move and left when she heard him negotiating to trade her to a man for, as she put it, big fat cow. And she knew that was not the future for her. So she left, and now in her amazing success at establishing and running this orphanage, every aspect of it, her father still calls her a, quote, man-woman, because he does not believe that a woman could do what she does.
And this is the kind of thing that needs to be overcome. And I know that the part of it is with women, pregnant women, problems going to the hospital. That's another way that some of us may feel drawn to support the work in Cameroon.
Right. And I do give some ways for people to do that. It's very sad. A woman, this is hard for us to believe, I think, in the first world, but every hour a woman in Cameroon dies due to the complications of childbirth. And the infant mortality rate is quite high also. So what we need to do is, well, for instance, in the book there's a story about a woman who comes to the orphanage looking for a medical kit. She's 8 months pregnant, and we were, of course, inquired as to what that was. And Sister Jane informed us that for a woman to be admitted to the hospital, she has to bring her kit with her that has the surgical gloves for the nurse, everything she will need for them to deliver her baby. Well, this is, of course, unheard of for us to arrive at the hospital with all these things. And the kits cost $80. Now, that's a huge amount of money in that country. The women cannot afford these kits. As a result, they give birth at home with midwives or people that are less trained than a midwife. And that contributes to the high infant and maternal mortality rate. So I've set up just some people in Cameroon that will put these kits together, and we send them the money to do that so the women can have these kits.
So we have so many opportunities to give assistance. We may not be able to make the trip, probably we can't, but it's so easy for most of us to be able to either sponsor a child at $30 a month or contribute to these kits that are life-saving. There's just so much we can do, and we will learn more from the book, I Am That Child, that you've written so splendidly for us, Elizabeth Geitz.
Thank you. This is my sixth book. And this is by far my favorite of all of them. And it is written in what's technically, I guess, called narrative nonfiction format. So it reads like a novel. People are telling me that they can't put it down when they start reading it. And even the woman, Lillian, that went on the trip with me said, I had trouble believing this is all really true, even though I'm in the book. So I think it's a book also that people are finding themselves drawn to and wanting to get involved in. One of our readers, and I'm hoping others will do the same, became very interested in helping the epileptic children that I talk about in the book, because she is the mother of an adult child who has epilepsy. And she has started, as you'll see on my website, an entire campaign called the Clip a Dollar for Epilepsy campaign. So my prayer, my hope, my deepest yearning is that people will read the book and will respond in ways that I haven't even thought of, by something that touches them that within the pages of the book.
Yes. And this wonderful book, of course, is available certainly from most of our favorite book sources, correct?
Yes, it is. It's available online at all the major online stores. It's available at indie bookstores. It is available through cokesbury.com, my publisher, C-O-K-E-S-B-U-R-Y, but certainly Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all of them as well. So it's very available, and hoping that you all will take the journey with me. That's what I'm hoping.
And that is my hope as well, Elizabeth. This has just been such a fun little journey that we've had, having a conversation about your book, I Am That Child. I thank you so much for having written it, and certainly thank you greatly for spending time with us this morning.
Kate, thank you for having me on your show. I'm delighted to be able to speak to my sisters and brothers, particularly in the Puget Sound area. And I hope that I've given you a little something to think about this morning.
I'm certain that's the case. And with that, we are at the end of this very full hour of Inspirational Women with Elizabeth Geitz and Sunday Morning Magazine with Raymond Francis. I'm Kate Daniels, your host, and I so appreciate that you've shared this hour with me and these special guests. For details that you might have missed, information that you'd like to know, please just send me an email, kated at warm1069.com. That's going to get to me, and I'll be sure to get information right back to you. I now wish you and your family a day of creating a beautiful, a healthy, and a loving world. Have a week of the same, and please then plan to join me again next weekend for another hour of Sunday Morning Magazine and Inspirational Women, which is just one more way Warm 106.9 cares for our community. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day.